Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's all unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the privilege that we have to be in the very presence of God. We rejoice that where'er we seek Thee, Thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. We praise Thee that through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the merit of His blood, we have an entrance into the very throne room of heaven itself. And Lord, as we come to worship Thee, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt draw near. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will know a sense of the presence of God. And we pray most of all that each one will hear the voice of God. We pray for our brother who will bring Thy word. Bless our brother McCrae as he preaches. Fill him with the Spirit of God and with power. May he be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And we pray, Lord, that Thou will do us good in Thy house today. We pray in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. We're turning to Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 53, and we're reading from verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his truth. We're going to sing that lovely hymn, Throw Out the Lifeline Across the Dark Wave, there is a brother whom someone should save.
I want to thank the Reverend Lindsay Wilson for leading our meeting this evening. We thank the Lord for him, and we pray the Lord has blessed us in our singing. We're going to read a verse of scripture from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, and we're taking as our text that verse number 6. Isaiah 53, verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we bless thee for this meeting already. Bless us as we come to thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this evening from this verse of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 53. And I want to use this verse 6 as my text, thinking of the subject of three steps to eternal life. As we think of this verse of Scripture, I want you to go with me as we come across three different points this day. First one is found in the beginning of this verse. Recognize that you are a sinner. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Recognizing that you are a sinner. Here in this verse, it applies to all those people that listen to the Word of God. All those people that haven't heard it, applies that we should recognize that we are sinners. We've gone astray from the things of God and away from God, and we need to recognize that there is an issue between us and God, and that there is a need for you to do something about this matter. As you read this passage, we find that there was a wonderful Savior, a Shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and how the work that He did and did for us. But yet as we see this verse number 6, and how that as the Bible tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray, it reminds us of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve having been in the Garden of Eden, and as they were gathered there, they were before God. Yet there came a time when they were distracted. Time when sin pulled their eyes away. They notice the pull of sin upon their lives. There's a problem here. They didn't realize how much the pull sin had in their lives until it was too late. I wonder today, do you recognize the pull sin has on your life? You see, you need to recognize that you are a sinner because the Bible says we've all gone astray. And I was thinking of each and every person. If you go to a doctor, if you begin to get ill, you run to a doctor to get medication. When we're in trouble, you look for help. When we're in need of help, we call upon a rescuer to save us. Surely, thinking of the spiritual sense, when we need help, unless we recognize we have a problem, you'll not realize that you need the help of God. You see, the Bible says that you're a sinner and you've gone astray. And the problem is that sin has entered into your lives and you won't realize that you need to be saved until, firstly, you recognize that you're a sinner. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And the thought here is that you don't recognize that you are a sinner before God. And just because you don't recognize you're a sinner doesn't make you any less a sinner. Because whether or not we recognize it or not, God proclaims that we all have sinned. The Bible states in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here God singles out individuals and tells us that we've all gone astray. We've all sinned against God. And you've come short of God's glory. The Bible goes a little further in Romans 3:10. There is none righteous, no, not one. And again here it indicates that a person who is unrighteous before God, or someone that is not right, and you're a sinner before God. And God's talking about you today. But the question is, do you believe that you're a sinner or recognize you're a sinner? Do you admit that you've sinned against God? And do you recognize and are ready to accept God's salvation, to take away your sins and iniquities that you have committed against God? For I wonder how you see your sin. For God does not judge us according to our standard of sin. God does not base the judgment which He does against us, base it on the standard that we have ever thought that it should be. But God sets the standard that we must be born again. God sets the standard that you have fallen short, and you're not only have fallen short, but you've sinned against God. But you need to recognize that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. Do you realize it? Do you realize it? That on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ paid the price so that your sins could be forgiven. There on that cross, your sins were paid for, the price was paid, and the gift is free. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 18, "For as much as you know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." And in that verse number 19, it tells us, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, that's what makes a difference in lives. The blood of Jesus Christ. And let me warn you that if you don't know Christ, then you're going out to a lost eternity. You see, you don't know what a day may bring forth. Not one person is promised tomorrow. Maybe you're a person who says, "I want to lay up goods and I want to have all this and I want to get to myself as much as I can. I'm going to look for many years." You know what God says? "Well, I fool," He says, "you need to get right before God now." The Word of God often tells us to not to put off till tomorrow. What we can do today. And you don't know what your future is. You know, the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You don't know what today or tomorrow will bring to your home. You don't know what sorrow or heartache could be around the corner. So why not call upon the loving Savior? Why not call on God to save you, recognizing you're a sinner? Why won't you come to Him? Secondly, you must realize that you cannot save yourself. The Bible says in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." I was thinking of this verse, and thinking of this portion of Scripture, and it's often sung about, "I did it my way." And people love that thought, that they can do anything they want and have it their own way. And the words, "our own way," make people happy for a season. You see, our own way allows people to do anything they want without repercussions, so they think, for a season. And it allows people to do things their own way and their own time. But the Bible says, yes, that's what you do naturally, but that's not the way of salvation. Here's your way. But God says these words, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death." You see, your way might be right in your eyes, and your way might keep you walking upon your road, but your way won't keep you out of God's eternity. You need to realize that you're a sinner. You could be baptized and still leave this world as a sinner. You could have good finances in this world and be completely sound regarding your health and still go out into eternity in sin. You could do good deeds and it might help other people and might help your conscience, but it won't save your soul, because your own works cannot save you. The Bible says, it's not of works lest any man should boast. The Bible goes further in Titus chapter 3 verse 5. "Not by the work of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." So, unsaved person, you need to realize that you need God's salvation. And you need to realize that salvation is not in something that you've done yourself. It is only by the work of the precious Savior, the begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He has done for you. And through Him alone you can be saved. The Savior put it this way, you must be born again. I urge you this evening to realize that you cannot save yourself and come to Christ. You're doing it your own way. And then thirdly, you must run to the Savior. The Bible says in this verse, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You need to believe that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. And no system, no ceremonies, no pilgrimages, no deeds will get you into heaven. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must accept Christ to be your own and personal Savior if you're ever going to be saved. You see, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that being said, we ask the question, how can I be saved? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon Him for salvation. I love the verse of Scripture in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And we all, that's a wonderful verse of Scripture which says, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people. From what? From their sins. And I wonder, do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to save you from your sins? Do you believe that you're a sinner, alienated far from the love of God? Do you believe that Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sins? And if so, will you not run to Him? Will you not run to Him, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you today? Will you not admit maybe for the first time in your life, that you need Jesus Christ in your life and you need to be forgiven for your sins through the blood? For it's the blood that makes a difference. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, as the Scripture tells us in John 1 verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. Unsaved person, His pardon is waiting for you. His pardon is waiting for you. Will you not receive Him? Will you not just cry unto God and say, I recognize here that my sins and my iniquities have led me to this mindset today. But what a blessing it is to know that the Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Saul. Many years ago, two men were sentenced to death for crimes committed. One of those men received a presidential pardon. The President of the United States met. They decided this man needed this pardon. He would go free. As this man was receiving this pardon, he looked at it. He says, not for me. The U.S. government never, ever seen this before. It was sent before the Supreme Court of the time. And I want you to listen to the judgment that was set forth. A pardon is an act of grace, proceeding from the power entrusted with the execution of the laws, which exempts the individual on whom it is bestowed from the punishment in the law inflicts on them for a crime which has been committed. Pardon is a deed to the validity of which the delivery is essential, and the delivery is not complete without acceptance. as we think of this pardon received, God says to you, there's a pardon because of an act of grace by the Son of God. The pardon has been set before you to receive. And you need to receive him. So let me urge you, run to Christ. As you listen to this message today, I want to give you a final word. God offers you his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. God recognizes that you're a sinner. And God also recognizes that you've gone astray. But God bids you come. He says, all we like sheep. You've gone astray. You've turned everyone to your own way, his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's another verse of scripture I want to read with you. It is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says these words. Now is accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. Will you not turn to Christ? Trust him as your Savior. And know with assurance that you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Gracious God and loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again. We have gathered together this day. We thank Thee for the gospel message and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I pray, O God, as people listen to this short message, that You'll speak to their hearts, open their hearts, take the scales from off their eyes. Lord, may they call upon Thee to be their Savior and Redeemer and Friend. Lord, I thank Thee, God, for saving my soul. Oh, Lord, I thank Thee that You're able to make men and women and young people whole. Do bless us, I pray. Be with us, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.